What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other crap. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support, and again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life! 12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang!
Iverson. Against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name's Nick. I got my guys, Rohit and Mike, to talk some kicks today. We got a lot of news updates, a lot of rocking and copping, although I don't have anything in front of me to share. But what's good,
fellas? Don't. I feel like you don't have anything in front of you, Nick.
It's in the other room.
No. You know what, Nick? I would be remiss if I wasn't a good teammate. So let me pontificate while you go ahead and find what you're looking for. Because, you know, if certain YouTube videos are to be believed, this is almost a 40-year chasing process. So what's another 3 minutes? So go ahead.
It is. Go for it. Go ahead, guys. Yeah. I'll be right back.
Buster Force, bro.
If you're fluent in Hindi, then you're pretty aware that Rohit Malhotra in Hindi means filibustering for a friend. It doesn't, but alas, we're here. And podcast is, thank you, brother. And podcast is theater of the mind. So we'll go ahead and talk while Nick is scouring the grails. For me, the copping, I was able to hit on the Kobe 9 masterpieces thanks to a raffle. So, you know, I got to cross that off the old 2025. I don't know if you want to call it a bucket list or a New Year's resolution. I hit on a raffle. So there you go. And then what I'm rocking right now, because we are snowed in the greater Portland area, Giannis 2.0 Uno Mules. This is the official inside shoe of Dads Everywhere. It's very comfy. It's as if a beanbag and a Hummer had a child and then decided, you know what, we're going to have a shoe instead of a car or a piece of
furniture.
And look at that, listener. I start to see a blue and white presence go back into the frame. So we'll still give him a little bit more time. Mike, how about you? What are you copping? What are you rocking?
What I'm rocking, you know, since our boy, I know, Robbie is doing his romantic duties on Valentine's Day. I did mine a little earlier, so a little free. So I brought my right Lakers jersey out, which I mean, I had to bring out the Kobe one. I will not call it the crazy one. It's the Kobe one. It was the last Sunshine retro they did. And since it's All-Star weekend, it made perfect sense to bring out an All-Star shoe. And copying is going to be the same until I can go ahead and manifest this shoe in my collection, just like Rohit is on my bucket list, my grail list. But Galaxy Foam Posits come out next week. I am going to do everything I can to give Nike $240, which sounds ridiculous, but I want to make that happen. Nike, I'm willingly going to give you $240 plus tax if you would gladly just send me an invoice. But again, we stalled long enough for the main event. Nick, what's going on, buddy? What you got?
All right. So first off, I thought I'd put a little, maybe some luck out there. So, like, the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you've been in the Discord, but I've just been wearing the Royals from, 2016, 2017. But, yeah, these showed up from Jordan Brand and had to make a little video about them because, I mean, yeah, it's literally been since the dunk contest, which I wanted to put this in the video, but made me think, like, do you guys consider dunk contest shoes All-Star shoes? Like, we don't
100% 100%.
Okay,
it's not during the postseason.
Yeah, like from Friday to Sunday, if you wear it, it's an All-Star shoe.
Not only that, I was gonna say, a couple of years ago, I think we had a Kyrie shoe drop that was meant to sync up with what he was gonna wear at the three-point shootout, and that's when I knew three-point shooting was the next big wave in the NBA, because I'd heard of shoes in the dunk contest inspiring releases, but what next? The Rising Stars Challenge? The rookie game? Well, they don't count yet. They're not real people yet.
I mean, yeah, who knows, man? Like, they do, I mean, we could get into some new releases that are coming out that are former Rising Stars, former Rookie Challenge winners.
You know what?
Competitors.
I have a dunk contest shoe that's going to be out too. So when we talk about that, I'll pull those out. There's next to me. I forgot about them.
All right.
But
so
one other, go ahead, Nick. I was just going to say one other thing we were going to say was Nick did make a tremendous video. If you follow us on all the socials, you've probably already seen it. But if
thanks,
not,
guys.
We are going to make sure that you get a look at said video, because if nothing else, we want to make sure Nick pads his stats and gets more free shoes from Jordan, because then maybe that means Mike's one shoe closer to getting a free shoe and Robbie and then
hey,
Nick, so.
Look, if Nick's winning, I'm winning at this point, because yeah. I just like the fact I'm happy for it. I could like I saw that, I was like, there's no, oh, I'm like, they finally saw him, let's do it. I feel like I got the shoe. I would have it. I was just hyped up watching your video, man.
No, I mean, that's how I feel. Like, if Mike's getting shoes, I feel like I'm already winning. So, like, it was super surprised. Like, Jacques connected me with some folks that are doing some of the marketing for Jordan Brand right now. And, awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I actually started a whole new YouTube channel, like, about a month ago to like, kind of just go through my stuff. I feel like sneaker history on YouTube has always been a little weird because we have so many podcasts and clips and all these different things that there's not a good place for the videos to live. So
yeah.
Like, I just wanted to like have dedicated, like, let me just talk about all this shit that I've spent 40 years chasing and hunting down. And, you know, like, there's so many things about it, right? I'm obviously going to talk about sneaker history in every video basically, but you know, like, Michael sent over, you know, the AE1 Lowe's for the Secret Santa to me. And, you know, like that shoe, another shoe that's just like, you know, like special to me at this point. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, we'll talk about the ads and stuff for him, but you know, I got that blue wave pair or new wave pair, the first one, the kind of aqua colored one.
Wore that for
the entirety of my trip to Japan basically. And you know, that's another like lifelong goal. So for me, like, I'm creating the memories in these shoes, and then to have this shoe come from, I haven't talked to Michael. I saw him when I was in Portland, you know, at Robbie's house, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever, just like brief passing. But then like he obviously paid attention to, you know, conversations in the Discord to know that I wanted that shoe, and specifically that color, like that, like light blue low that came out. And, you know, it's just that kind of stuff about the community that's just so fun to me. And like, you know, there's so many things that we all know about each other that can support each other. Like, it's so much more than just what you see on the surface with sneakers. And like this shoe came because Jacques connected me with people, you know, like it is like years of me working with Jacques and knowing him and being, you know, he's awesome. One of my closest friends at this point. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. It's just like, you got to just go out there and put it out there. And I've been struggling to do that. So the channel was basically like a way for me to be like, yo, I need to get back to like really talking about this stuff that I care about and the people that it's connected me to and tell these stories. So hopefully people enjoy it and then go subscribe. You can find me if you just search for Nick at Sneaker History on YouTube. So
do it. Hey, let's run him up. Let's get him to 1,000. Let's get this man to where he needs to be for YouTube to recognize him as a partner. Did you know, Nick, that the AE1 is actually called Nick's Gift, if I'm not mistaken?
What?
No, that's a different colorway. I know what you're talking about.
The blue one? The blue low?
No, that's the thing. So I think, Nick, you got the launch colorway, which I believe is a mid. The low Nick colorway is a newer colorway. I think it's a different shade of blue. And it's also an homage to his best friend, who, if you're an eagle-eyed viewer of his commercials, he's the rather hefty fellow that always serves as the, lack of a better term, Mars Blackman 2.0 for it's Michael Jordan. I was also going to say one last thing about this. When Nick said, oh yeah, Michael sent them, I was about to be like, Jordan sent you those personally?
And like, then he's what? Like,
and then I was like, wait a minute, Michael Jordan's not going to send him AE1s, unless that would be the ultimate heat check.
So that's the colorway that I got.
Oh, that's the Nick Stiff. So that is the one.
Is
I
it really?
You were getting the,
my God. That's amazing. I didn't even know that. See, this is where I need Mike's help to get me on up my game, step my game up on YouTube. I'm out here talking about shoes and not even calling them the proper name.
This is why we're the Kendrick Lamar of sneaker podcasts, because there's just details, son.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue.
That's
speaking of Kendrick Lamar, speaking of AE1s, obviously Kendrick, the Super Bowl was phenomenal to me. Like, I mean, this man is like Dave Free, the whole PG Lang crew, like, is just like next level creativity.
For sure.
The Easter eggs that are buried in it, the messaging that's in it, I got goosebumps just talking about it. Like, that's how much I'm inspired by watching that stuff. And like, it makes me think differently. And that's what I am craving right now.
Yeah.
But also, AE1 with this iced tea commercial, to have that locked and loaded, to like be ready to go, and to have the Easter eggs in it with the you know, the numbers on the bullets.
Let's give everybody a little bit of context, because there may be some of us that are listening to this have no idea what we're talking about. So yesterday, I guess, is there a Valentine's Day Eve or is this Galentine's Day? I'm not sure. This is not holiday history. It's sneaker history. There was a regular season game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And a couple things stood out for this game. This was the first game that the Oklahoma City Thunder lost in which they never led this entire regular season. So that's for my statty, nerdy NBA types. But for those of us that like putting hearts on big butts on Instagram and big dunks on Instagram, we had something for you. And that was the Anthony Edwards baptismal service of one Chet Holmgren. And what we are now referring to, now that you have the context, listeners, the minute that dunk went to commercial, because as is the case with any Anthony Edwards major highlight, inevitably it goes straight to commercial so everybody can post their reactions to it. Adidas said, you know what, hold my German beer, because this is what we're going to do. We have a clip, we have a commercial, we have a spot that is all ready to go, which takes place on the same familiar orange backdrop. Yeah. We had a bunch of numbers that the best way I would describe it is whenever you go to a restaurant and you have to pick a number to put on your table so that way the server knows where to go, there were a bunch of those type of numbers scattered all through the court. And then you saw two detectives. One of them was the famous Ice-T, who is reprising his role from SVU. And then I couldn't figure out who the other woman was, so apologies on that front. And then they just proceeded to take this on like a procedural. Like, he did it again. He is him. And the funniest thing about this was, to Nick's point about Easter eggs, you just saw numbers kind of everywhere. And you're like, what are these numbers? And then you're like, wait a minute, the number 2, that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The number 77, that's new Los Angeles Laker Luka Doncic. And then the number 7, wait a minute, that's Chet Holmgren. And the reason why we're talking about this is because we're not only sneaker nerds, we're also advertising nerds. And the fact that, lack of a better term, this on-demand commercial just popped up, like, to me, that's the craziest part. Like, they called their shot. They knew their guy. And now the question is, New Balance, next time Shohei hits a massive home run, you got something loaded in the cannon?
Right.
You have to. And my thought is this, bro. So when we were talking about this, like, how would they get that out so quickly? But, you know, movie magic or, you know, just media magic, I'm sure they had, of course, the original numbers laid out for whoever he's dunked on already. Was that last one we saw just a blank? And as soon as he dunked on somebody, boom, let's go ahead and CGI that number on there and get it out to the world. Like, they're just ready, which is awesome. And, you know, we were talking earlier, and I was like, you know what? I know everybody wants the AE2. Everybody wants to see it. I'm glad they're taking their time on it. But between the awesome colors they keep putting out of the AE1, high and low, but in the commercials, I am perfectly satisfied with what we're getting. I don't want to rush it because I want to keep this going for as many years as AE's in the NBA. And I think that for once, a brand is not, they're investing in the shoe, the athletes invested into the shoe, to where it keeps us happy with what the product they're putting out. And I don't think about AE2, to be completely honest with you. Everything I have, I'm cool with what I have right now. And when they launch it, I'm expecting something big because of everything that they've been doing. So it's awesome.
I think the opposite. Like, at this point, I don't think the AE2 is going to be a hit because of how high the AE1 has gone.
Oh, God, that scares me. That scares me because I don't want it to be a flop.
Yeah, but I just think the sheer mountain of expectation is going to be so hard for somebody to climb, even though if you are a complete summit jumper the way Anthony Edwards has been. And it's also one of those things where one other thing I've noticed about the AE1, and I'd love to get both of your takes on it, is I've never seen a shoe in modern times as protected as the AE1 is. Because if this was any other brand, we would get every Tom, Dick, and Harry colorway that there was to the world. And they have been very particular about the colorway. I mean, even something like I'll use this as a barometer, right? Whenever there's a hot shoe, one of the things that we can constantly see are different colleges getting that version of the shoe. Yeah. I can't think of a single AE1 college basketball tie-in that
Just one. Oh, well, it's a PE though. We didn't get it. The Kansas joints.
Yeah.
That's another thing to me is just like they are being very protective of that shoe. And it's an interesting choice because I do think they are succeeding in the whole less is more adage. But Nick, what do you think?
So I'm kind of in between with you guys on this. I think the thing that I think we don't think about now because nostalgia, right? Like memories of this Jordan 1 for me have been prominent. They've been skewed every few years when a new one comes out. They've been, you know, skewed by what I've consumed since this happened. But I remember vividly, like, wanting to wear gold chains after Michael was in the dunk contest. Like that era for me was not as consumer-driven, but it was, hey, honestly, I only get to watch WGN. I lived in, you know, Oregon or you know, Northern California whenever all this stuff was happening. And you get to watch the Bulls on WGN, you get to watch the Hawks on TBS. Like, basketball wasn't a national thing every day of the week. So I only knew Jordan and Dominique in terms of, like, the dunk contest, you know, at that age. But, like, and Dominique is, you know, way up there for me in terms of, like, a person, skills, shoes, all that. But Michael had the swagger, right? Like, he came out with his, you know, jumpsuit and chains. And, you know, it was like, whoa, this is like connecting dots for me all over the place. So to bring it back to the AE1, what I think happened with a lot of the Jordans is I think that they came out and then I think the story just kept going back to the Jordans. And I think that's what's happening with the AE1 on a micro level, right? We're seeing him make these amazing plays happen. We're seeing him, you know, dunk on people. We're seeing the advertisements pull you back into that AE1. I feel like, I don't want to say honored or lucky, but I'm like stoked to have a few pairs of AE1s because of all the things he's continuing to do in them, which simultaneously makes me want more AE1s and makes me want to see the next one. Because I feel like, to your point, Rohit, like they've gone a little light on the colors that we would normally get, you know, dozens of colors. And, you know, it's not that like there's not ways to do that, but because they've been a little bit more reserved with that, it to me, it just makes it like the perfect storm of you know, this like nostalgia. You know, I in the video that I put on YouTube, it's like this is the perfect storm of hype, nostalgia, and performance. Like, you cannot get these three pillars of what drive the sneaker business any other way. And there's so many other cool shoes out there, but they don't have Ant's hype. They don't have Ant's excitement. And, you know, like, we can talk about Shea and his new Converse. I think like the issue with like all the other brands out there and what everybody's doing, you know, we've seen it with Puma, like, not to pick on anybody, because it's a challenging thing to do. But Puma went so hard with the crazy colors that you kind of lost touch with who the athlete, you know, like what is the point of these colors? Does you know, LaMelo care about this stuff? So I think that's like part of what makes me think about what you're asking, Rohit. But then the other part of what I want to circle back to real quick, the locked and loaded aspect of that commercial is incredibly difficult to pull off. Like, having a commercial made, granted there's a great commercial, but like having a commercial made and having something ready to go is not the hardest part of that. The hardest part is convincing the higher ups that you work for and the people that are going to cut the check that you want to do this, and you know that it's going to work so well that you're going to do it regardless of if you are actually going to have that moment. Yeah. And it makes me think of like when I was at Finish Line, you know, this is 10 plus years ago, but we did a couple of years, we did a NCAA March Madness bracket. And, you know, the only way you can really do that is by creating all of those assets, all of that content ahead of time, because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So for every game, you need to have both of those assets ready to go. So you're doubling, tripling, quadrupling the amount of work for your creative team. And, you know, if it falls apart, you know, it sucks. But like, the harder part in that is convincing everybody else that is not a big basketball fan or is not like really tapped into the culture that this is what will make us cool on the internet. You know, like if for us, if Finish Line goes out, and I can't remember the teams from that era, but like if Finish Line goes out and has like a graphic for, you know, Ball State going hard, like that is a win if they win. Most companies won't pick the you know, 14 seed, and they'll just wait till the Sweet 16 or something like that to play the game of posting. But if we were just like, let's do it. Like, this is a commitment. We're going for it. And we had, you know, we could connect every team, every, you know, brand had a team, you know, every team had a brand, every story that came along, we were able to turn around social content and really kind of take people from, you know, this is before the 68 team tournament, but like take the 64 teams all the way to the Final Four. And they're connected with us as you know, individuals behind the scenes on our own socials, because we're all excited about it. Because like, who's going to do this stuff? I mean, it's more normalized now, but like that kind of stuff then was you know, an insane thing to try to do. Which just, you know, to me just makes me think of this AE1 commercial. Just makes me think you can have that asset ready to go, and you can have that, you know, set up with the blank and throw the graphic on. But even that means every game that Anthony Edwards is playing, somebody is sitting there ready to go to drop that number onto it in order to be able to not only just create that, but like render it, publish it, get it out to whatever, you know, organization that's running the commercial.
I was going to say the three most exciting and probably most daunting words are "to be continued," and I'm very interested to see what they do next. And that was perfect kicker, because now are we going to get a second one when he dunks on somebody else inevitably? Like, not only that, like, listeners, to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, we were kind of doing a sneaker history draft of getting Chet was good, because Chet is probably going to be the preeminent North American defensive big man of his era. But I mean, the only way this could have been better from a three stripes perspective was if he had dunked on a certain Frenchman. Like, what if they've got something like that, Kane? Because, I mean, to your point, Nick, and your point, Mike, this one felt fairly plug and play. But, I mean, what's the next level of these on-demand commercials? This fact that they start customizing it. And they're like, we know he's going to get somebody. And I would not be surprised if, let's say, he dunks on Ant Edwards, and then 5-10 years down the line, somebody's able to dig up that initial contract and like, yeah, if you dunked on Wemby during such and such, we would have given you an additional $1 million and times it by two if it was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Really, to, you know, before we move on to our next topic, but I really, as you were comparing like the moments you saw with Jordan, Nick, and of course what we're seeing with Ant, I think I feel like the mentality of that Adidas team out there is they're treating like the first Jordan, where they didn't know there was going to be a second Jordan. Although I'm sure they're already working on the Ant 2. In fact, we know they're working on the Anthony Edwards 2. But they're treating it like, hey, this is the only shoe. And they're giving it that love and respect that, you know, as this premier model for a premier athlete that you saw with Jordan. It's like, hey, this could be the only one. So let's go. We saw us doing well. Let's kind of go balls to the wall with everything. I feel like they have that same mentality, which is making sure it's not getting watered down, or, in lack of better words, this kind of half-ass effort when it comes to the brand pushing it. So I like that they're going in like, hey, let's put blinders on. When we get to the Ant 2, great. But for now, we're going to be locked and loaded with these commercials of events that could happen. We're going to make them quality. We're going to make sure we're being deliberate with our colorways. So it really gives you this feeling of, all right, they care about this model. And of course, the athlete cares about it as well.
Yeah, and I think that's like the most beautiful thing about it, right? Like, we got to this point where everything on social is so just put it out to put it out, you know, like, like people are kind of, whether they know it or not, they're gravitating towards the passion behind all of this stuff. They're gravitating towards the Ant stuff because, one, he's passionate, you know, he's bringing another level of passion to the game that really, like, you know, I think a lot of people would argue you haven't seen it since probably LeBron, maybe even Jordan himself, right? Like,
yeah.
And he's not winning yet, but like, neither did LeBron and neither did Jordan in their early years.
And I was going to add one more wrinkle to it. To your point, Nick, remember the first LeBron commercials? Nike did what I think is the intelligent thing, which is put him in their galaxy of stars. Like, the first LeBron commercial I can remember is when they're at the church and Bernie Mac is the pastor and he's saying, and the Lord's gave him court vision. And then you've got the chorus of ex-pro college people just singing his praises literally and metaphorically. But then that was still within the infrastructure of an established giant. What makes this Ant thing even more impressive to me is Ant, for better or for worse, is front and center at every single one of these. They did not give him a known spokesman to kind of take the heat off of him, so to speak, just in case there was a bit of wariness about, is he an actor or is he an athlete that can act? Because what's the Adam Sandler movie he did? He was phenomenal in that.
Oh, you know, like, crap. I know which movie you're talking about. Hustle?
Hustle.
Yep.
He was a tremendous villain in that. And some what we have allegedly heard about his life right now in the last couple of days, maybe that was a little too close to home in terms of how thoughtless he could have been. But no, he, as a famous 90s movie said, he's got the juice right now. Like, he can do no wrong. And it'll be very interesting to see how Adi evolves alongside him. Because in the past, we would say, how does Ant evolve alongside Adi? But right now, I think the kid is leading them.
Yeah, and I just hope that, you know, I hope that for the sake of, you know, like, I know I'm standing in front of a sneaker wall saying, like, slow down on the consumerism, because, like, I'm guilty of it. I've got 1,500 plus pairs between home and storage and my parents.
Yeah, I thought I had a problem. God dang it, Nick.
Like, you guys know how many pairs I've given away over the years. Like, yeah. I'm not even buying shoes like that to at this point. But, like, the thing that's crazy about when you think about, like, the purpose, the reasoning behind my kind of thought process on that for the marketing stuff is, what was the last shoe that LeBron wore that you can remember a moment on court or off or in the tunnel that you remember him wearing and you associate with the shoe? Like, that's the thing that's happening with Ant, right? Like, the moments are being just burned into our memories by his performance, by the commercials, all of that. Like, he doesn't even have to, we didn't even see a shoe in the commercial, but we know the color associated with the shoes that came out, the early pairs. And that's so powerful. And obviously, like, I'm a huge LeBron fan. Like, I you know, like, I know I shouldn't say this while I'm getting a free pair of Jordans, but, like, LeBron is the best player ever to me. Like, I know that's controversial, but, like, this man went through craziness and had cameras in his face all of his life. Think about how we're going to evolve as athletes, as individuals. Like, Ant didn't even have the level of cameras in his face that LeBron did all through the years, right?
Yeah.
To your point, Rohit, like, they gave him a little bit of a cushion to have a Bernie Mac in there, to have others in his commercials. And, like, that's it's not a bad thing. Like, hopefully, like,
we're not faulting them for it.
We all benefit from like, the way he's been treated, the man he has become, the kids he's having. Like, we're all going to watch, you know, his sibling or his, you know, children play this game. They are going to entertain us for another 20, 30 years. And, like, that's a really crazy thing to think about when, on the flip side of that, you've got, you know, Michael Jordan's son getting arrested for, you know, driving down a railroad. He was driving on a railroad track this last time.
But ambulance chasers here after us. But it's funny you mentioned this, Nick, because I can't answer your question, but I'll pose a counter question back to you. So I'm that annoying kid in your high school math class or your philosophy class. LeBron's most relevant moment recently has been the shot he hit against the aforementioned OKC Thunder, a beautiful symmetry in all this, when he got the scoring record.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think there's a person on this panel that could, within 10 seconds, say, oh, he was wearing such and such shoe.
He was wearing a pink LeBron 20s. It was a PE.
Was it a PE? Okay, fair enough. That's listening.
I got a problem, though. I shouldn't know that kind of stuff, though. Like, this, like, I should mind dump this thing.
And maybe I grossly underestimated my panel members as well as my audience.
I wouldn't. To be fair, I wouldn't have known.
No, I know. I was like the anomaly on that, because I literally was like, I should know that. I should not know that. It was just one of those random things that just stuck in my brain. Because the only shoe I could think of is the LeBron 10 when he chased down Andre Iguodala in the finals.
But even then, wasn't that the Zoom Soldier? Because it was, it was in,
Oh, it was a soldier.
It's a game seven pack.
Yeah, it wasn't a 10. It was a soldier. You're completely right. Yep.
See, all right, we're back even on the ledger, so to speak, with our basketball nerdiness. But the reason why I say all this is, to Nick's point, LeBron's transcended any shoe he's going to wear. And that is the ultimate compliment you can pay him. And maybe that is one wrinkle that I don't necessarily know if it makes him better or worse than Jordan. Jordan's shoes grew alongside Jordan. LeBron still is bigger than any shoe of his, except for, I mean, like, what's most memorable? Like, the South Beaches from way back when? Like, that's the last one that I can colloquially refer to just by the colorway, and everybody knows what I mean by that.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. And this is, again, this is, like, why I think he's got a much bigger uphill battle than MJ ever had, right? Like, LeBron is, you know, not in a bad way, but, like, he's in deep with Nike. He's been a part of telling color stories for, you know, the LeBron watch for, you know, a decade plus, where I guarantee you there are LeBron fans that had no idea what some of the ACGs, what some of the Dions, the Griffies, the colorways. So he's much bigger than that in terms of like a broader influence and impact on, you know, the business of Nike as a whole. Obviously, MJ had those moments, but, like, you can count on, you know, a few hands how many times Jordan was seen in a shoe that wasn't a Jordan. And it was very rare and very calculated. You know, it's just a different strategy. But it's really interesting to me to think of, like, those types of things where, you know, if I have 10 shoes to choose from to say, oh, LeBron wore these 10 shoes for a season. So that means when he hit that shot, dunked on so-and-so, hit that game winner, I have a fairly good idea of what shoe was on his feet for that. But because he's got such a broad spectrum of colors out there for him personally and for, you know, all the stories that are told, it's harder for us to connect directly to it, which I think makes it even harder for us to connect with the shoe itself. You know, like the model itself, I should say. So, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, kind of, like,
it's a scenario. Conundrum.
Conundrum. There you go. But, like, so let's transition this a little bit. Rohit, you brought up something. I didn't even think about this when I saw the shoe, but Shea's new Converse is kind of maybe sort of an homage to the Wheat Air Zoom generation with the color. I mean,
well, the colorway, I looked it up while you were chatting, Nick. It's called Butter. And I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we're all of a certain generation. When we see a certain shoe, our mind naturally gravitates towards, what shoe does this remind me of? Sometimes it's a model and sometimes it's a colorway. And that's what I thought. And I think early returns are good. It's a striking design. I think we all kind of wanted that. And it was really funny because I'm not going to mention who, but there was somebody within the greater Beaverton berm that had recently posted an Instagram story about Converse. Please let Shea go to either Nike basketball or Jordan because the culture needs this. And I was like, you know what? I kind of agree with it because I don't know if Converse has the clout to carry that, but early returns are okay. What do you guys make of this design?
I like it. I'm not a fan of the butter color. I'm looking at them again right now. I'm not a big Wheat shoe fan unless it's actually a boot, but I like them. I like what's happening. I'm always been a fan of the zip up or shroud, so that's always going to get me. And I like the kind of flame detailing you're getting on top. That's kind of this, like, looks like neoprene. I think I would love to see this in an OKC color, like a blue and orange or orange and white. I think that looks pretty slick. I like it. I think overall it's a cool shoe, something different. And I think what gets me now is because with Nike, again, love that legacy stuff. I love, you know, what we get from, like, the Jordan 1s and so on and so forth, like the foams that we're getting back. But new stuff is, unfortunately, looking very similar to each other. Like, you can line up every Nike basketball shoe now, and everything has this similar look and feel to it. And when you go over to Converse, which, thank goodness, because they are owned by Nike, they got something completely different. Like, you put that up next to any other shoe that Nike's rolling out right now, and you can tell, oh, that's the Shy or Shea shoe. Like, that is a beautiful looking sneaker. Again, thoughtful design. And another one of those shoes now looks like, hey, I we're getting back to that point of performance basketball being this potential casual wear again. And this, again, blurs that line perfectly, I think. So, especially with Shea being this big fashion guy, I think this shoe really embodies his personality of being a performer, but also really someone who's really conscious about what he does have on foot.
We're speaking of hypothetical colorways, and maybe this is an extra exercise we go forward. Anytime we see a new signature athlete, we should all come up with like our top two hypothetical colorways. Because the other thing, as you were chatting about this, Mike, what city did the Oklahoma City Thunder once belong to?
Oh, Seattle.
And
would be some nice.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Because I think that there's a little bit of a monkey paw to this in terms of the Zoom glove. And I would have loved to see just even a simple black and white colorway. And maybe you could combine the entire Nike brand portfolio. Because if you do a pack, let's say, of past, present, and future, you've got the Shea Gilgeous one, you've got the Zoom glove one. Apologies, I've butchered the name, but I'm really hyped about the fact that I came up with this. So Nike, cut the check if you like the idea as much as I like it. But like, that's how you create a bridge between one era to another. And it's also a complicated one because of the fact that Seattle Supersonics did not leave under the best of circumstances. And knock on wood, Oklahoma City has done everything they've came to embrace this team. And they had no say in the fact that this is how Seattle lost their team. But like, that is very cool to me. So I hope that they have more storytelling down the line like that.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Also, let's just say it. Bring back the Sonics, please.
Bring them back, man. Bring them back.
Well, hey, I mean, if certain conspiracies on the internet are to be believed, part of the Luka trade machinations is this somehow ends up with a team ending back up in Seattle or Las Vegas. So we'll see.
I hear Las Vegas is next, and I hear that the owner of the Mavericks is going to end up making it happen because if all of the controversial and tin hat wearing people are true, she wanted to put a casino in the Mavs' new arena. They told her no. So she said, okay, cool. I'll trade away Luka, and that's what we need to drive revenue somewhere. And
we're going to gut the team for parts if it doesn't work.
That's
literally
what they're saying. Like, if that's true, like, that is such a power move. Like, that's ridiculous.
I don't want to, you know, foreshadow or send us off the rails too much, but
Oakland A's, there's a beautiful symmetry in that as well, because the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Supersonics share more than a displaced franchise. They share a colorway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's a whole rabbit hole we could get into. I feel like we should probably do a sports podcast at some point to
Patreon,
talk about these kind of things.
We'll go down that rabbit hole.
I can't stand when owners do that, and I don't even want to go there. But to circle back to those Converse, the Shays. So I think this is like a very like poignant moment in the shift in like footwear design, sneaker culture, because we've seen similar attempts at like a Converse like this that was not attached to basketball. You know, we saw the kind of moon looking shoes that like
Adidas
the midsole.
Twos, the crazy twos.
Oh yeah. Those are coming back too, by the way.
Those are coming back too. But
yeah,
no, I mean, so the interesting thing that happened in the last handful of years, right, is that obviously there was a ton of leadership changes at Nike, but the biggest thing was that Nike lost a little bit of market share. So what does that do? That makes people that sit up in the corporate offices at the highest levels that don't really connect with the consumer, they start thinking, well, we need our brand out there more. We need people to know that other people are wearing Nikes. Everybody should have a big swoosh on the side, right? Which forces designers to incorporate a giant swoosh on the side every pair that ends up being very, very similar to, you know, the look and feel, right? Like the best era for Nike was an era where the designs stood out like crazy, you know, like it wasn't 1985 when the Jordan 1 looked almost like the Dunk, which looked almost like the Air Force 1, looked almost like the big Nike. Like it was the 90s, the early 2000s, where you had shoes like the Glove coming out. You had shoes that had, you know, maybe a you know, the evolution of the up tempos where it was like, okay, the branding is not going to be front and center to the same extent. And I think that also shifted into people's desire to have something, I would say, a little more, if you're an And One fan, you'll appreciate this reference, but a little more silky smooth. And that 2001, 2002 era where shoes became faster looking. They became more futuristic looking. Sleeker. They became sleek. They became streamlined. Everything about them looked like it was designed to cut through the air efficiently. Yeah. And that's really what this new Converse shoe is, right? Mm-hmm. I think like we're about to have that shift. We've seen the kind of momentum shift away from the more simplified, you know, I don't want to dumb down what people do for work, because like you can't, like you can look at a shoe from a distance and be like, oh, it's a Kobe shoe, and then think it's a Sabrina or a whatever Nike shoe. But that's totally unfair to the people that are putting in the work, because we all will nitpick stitches on a retro product compared to a shoe 40 years ago that's released 5-10 times over. And yet we're going to generalize when it comes to a performance shoe. Like, I feel like that's unfair, right?
But this goes to your point that you made when we were having the pseudo Michael LeBron conversation, right? Like, I think the biggest disadvantage LeBron had, and Michael did not have this disadvantage, was we got to see what was the apex of an athlete with Michael Jordan. And now every athlete, no matter what the sport, no matter what their gender, what they identify as, they will always be compared to that gold standard, which is the Jordan brand and Michael Jordan. Yep. Michael Jordan didn't have that when he first came out. The thought process was, oh, it'll be good if he gets half to what Magic or Bird does. And so, like,
yeah.
To borrow
it wasn't
a
constant. Wasn't a constant.
Oh, no. I mean, and that's also a sign of the times, that the fact that we all now have a movie camera in our on our hands. That's also the world's best newspaper. That's also a library. Like, we have too much information. We just don't have the attention span for it. So we overcompensate. But yeah. To Nick's point, like, there is a sliding scale about how we evaluate retros versus how we evaluate newer product. And I'm not trying to say we need to normalize any of it, but there does need to be certain guiding principles that we have to give ourselves, and most importantly, the designers a grace of. Because let's use Nike basketball. With the exception of maybe the LeBron, I think Nike basketball signature shoes, for the most part, so Sabrina, Ja, Book, KD, even the A'ja Wilson, are all being designed by the same person, and that's a testament to said person's ability to kind of unify the brand. But then there's also the fact that if you have one person doing all those designs, there is an inevitability that there is going to be similarities between those designs. And now, to Nick's point, we have an amalgamation of the fact that we have this newer, sleeker footwear that's kind of been synonymous with this last era or decade of shoe designing. But then, to Nick's point as well, they're all starting to feel similar, and that's not necessarily a fault. It's just no one man should have all this power. That's a second Kanye reference. I'm dropping this. I'm sorry.
We can refer old Kanye, not new Kanye. We don't know that guy.
It's all the same.
Talking about the shoes and being like, you said it earlier, Nick, is like, I can look at this shoe and know exactly what it is. So I'm looking at Shea's shoe like, oh, that's a Shea. I look at AE shoe, I know what it is. I know it. Look at Harden's shoe, I know what it is. But even though this is not a signature, I mean, Reebok, for example, you look at this now, this Engine A, you're going to be able to see that from the court. And then know what it is, because it's one of those shoes where they is, again, I like to say someone designed it with purpose. It's not just, hey, let's get a shoe and get it out there. This shoe is really just different looking. I mean, the color helps as well, but you can look at this and it's not going to get confused with anything else out there because of just the steps they took to take their past heritage, but not lean on it too much. They use inspiration to push something into the future and make it where it's eye-catching, where it still performs, and where it has its own individual personality to the sneaker, feel like.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, to Rohit's point, right, like, looking at the design language of shoes, you can also see that clearly the person designing the Nike shoes is seeing and moving in the same direction that all of us are, away from more traditional, let's say, Kobe 4 styling, because the A'ja shoe looks like a shoe from 2001 2002, right? Like, that
looks like a Hyperdunk, almost
that sleekness, right? Yeah, but it's like futuristic Hyperdunk kind of vibe.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
It's
for like, sure,
if we could take this and make it a Ferrari kind of language or a Porsche language, that, you know, I think is a part of, like, we all move, like, as much as we all think we're individuals in this, we all consume, to Rohit's point, we're all consuming at the same, you know, like, we got into this in the Discord recently because there's just a lot of stuff out there that people are really lazy about, you know, and I'm not trying to bring someone down, but like, people are lazy about the way that they write about a shoe or tell a story about a shoe, or, you know, and I get that, like, you're trying to tell the next story and you're trying to do 10 posts a day or whatever it is, like it is what it is. We live in that world now. But the problem with that is we don't ever even check people. We don't ever even say, hey, you missed out on that, man. Like you missed, like, you know, the Knicks pick shoe. Like I should have known that. Like I should have known that colorway story, right? Before I made a video about it. And I never did, because I was honestly just too excited because I got the shoe and I was like, I'm just going to make a video.
Nothing wrong with that.
I did no research on it at all. I just was like, this is a fucking dope shoe and I'm excited to have it. And that kind of thing, like, is where I think we're regressing back away from that because, you know, not to reference Kanye again, but like, we're all trying to avoid a bunch of shit people out there as well, right? Like, the news cycle is, it's just like destroying us mentally. Like, we've got brain worms in our own. Never mind. That's a whole, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
That's a Patreon episode. Don't worry.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's so much crazy shit happening in the world that like we swipe past as much of it as we can, or we avoid it. Definitely. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. But like, then we do it in our own things that we create. And I think that's really kind of one of the bigger talking points of all this stuff. Also, like, last thing, the other thing that's happening right now is we're getting away from, I hope we're getting away from these like crazy big brand collaborations, you know, like the Hot Cheetos or the, you know, the Cadillac, you know, whatever. Like, I mean,
they don't make sense to me a lot of times.
The Hummer Zoom Generation 1 should never be a thing. Hopefully nobody ever does that. But like, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody did like that as a partnership, right? Because it works for both brands. But I will say, like, some of the shoes that we are not talking about on the show regularly are really kind of coming up. The Jewel Lloyd GT Cut 3, I think it is. There's like a crazy color, like it literally just looks like a painting. Like that shoe is a shoe that like should be talked about way more by the sneaker media that's out there. You know, like I don't really loop us into that because we're not doing this every single day the way like some big sites and accounts are. But like that shoe is a step definitely outside of comfort zones for a lot of people, I'm sure, because it's so colorful. And yet like it's like a, you know, a team shoe, you know, like it's not a PE. Yeah, like it's a player exclusive colorway maybe for her. But to me, that just means like that little bit of freedom that somebody got means that we're going to see a little bit more, because that shoe, it will do well. You might not see a ton of people wearing it because it's wild, but like people will remember that shoe. And if she puts up numbers in that shoe, then that's going to be another like chance for her to get one step closer to either a signature shoe or new colorways, because she's already had some really great colorways in the GT line anyway. So that's something I think is like parallels this like, you know, kind of sleek design movement that's going to happen because of the Shea. It's already happening, but you know, we're kind of going back to the Shea. I love the shoe. I think it's super dope. And the only thing I don't like about it is the color. Like, give me some. I mean, I love the OKC colors anyway. Blue and orange always work for me. So throw those on a shoe and I'll be happy to have it.
Yeah, I think team color should not be something that is rare anymore in the sneaker. I love, like, that's how I was back in the day. I'm not trying to be like, oh, this will only be it. But that's how we're able, just not to harp on an old point, but that's how we're able to recognize these moments when things happen from, you know, players like Michael Jordan back in the day, because there's only X amount of colors. And I'm not saying don't make the crazy ones, but I feel like let's scale back on the crazy and let's go with good, timeless colors on a lot of things. And I'll leave it at that.
I was going to say, speaking of Gotta Have It, we've got one new segment, listener, that we were workshopping in the pre-show meeting, and we're going to debut it now. Come up with a goofy name for it and write us a review, because, you know, it's been a minute since we've actually solicited reviews. So please don't forget, if you like this show, write us a review, tell us why we're awesome. And if you're lucky, one of us will stumble through it as we try to read it out loud and make our third grade teachers proud. But the segment that we were talking about was the fact that we had mentioned the Galaxy Foams earlier in this episode, and I think I'm the brash one that I'll ask both of you guys, what's the deal with that? And that's a terrible Jerry Seinfeld impression. But at the same
thank
time,
you, Jerry.
I've got George and Kramer here with me. I'll let you figure out who's who. Why does this shoe resonate so much with sneakerheads? Because as somebody that was late to the sneakerhead game, it's a cool shoe. It's a cool design. But I don't understand why it's gotten to the grail level that it has. So, gentlemen, please educate your boy.
I feel like it's not a personal thing behind it, too. I mean, of course, this was one of those sneakers where right place, right time, because foams just started popping up again and people were really interested. And then also at the time, putting space print on things was, when did you see that? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but up to that point, there had been no print on a foam. That was the first.
Yeah.
That was the first time we got something other than, you know, a solid color on a foamposite. And that blew everyone's mind. And
I'm coming.
I think that was the big thing about it. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you did what on this shoe? And the whole Galaxy thing was already awesome because typically, I think prior other All-Star games, they weren't themed like that, right? Was that the first themed? That I can remember, like,
there were, like, loose themes, but, you know, this, like, the best analogy for the majority of listeners to understand this is, you know, like, when the NBA goes to a city to have All-Star Weekend, you know, back in the day, you would have, like, I think of San Antonio, right? Michael wearing
the
Columbias, having the Chili Pepper on the logo, on the jersey design, on the warm-ups, all that stuff. But, like, really, the shoes were kind of the other side of that weren't really talked about. You didn't have a theme for the shoes consistently. You know, like you had some shoes, you know, might have had some, an homage to, you know, New York City or Houston or LA or whatever, but you never had a full pack of shoes with that consistent theme. And I think, you know, that helped, right? Like I mean, when that's 2012 that shoe came out, I can still picture the KD4, the silver KD4, the Kobe, was that the 8 or the or something, the orange one, right? And then like there's like the row of shoes with the galaxies on there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like those images to me were like super powerful because they were different, you know, like And Mike's spot on with the print. You know, we didn't get crazy print. You know, nowadays people are dipping their shoes with all this like
whatever
stuff.
They want,
you know, like you can customize everything, and like this kind of print your own shoes thing is super dope. But like that shoe, it was like it was all of those things, but it was also like the first time that I think the masses really realized how big of a deal sneakers were. How limited this was, how special it was, and all wrapped up into all the releases of that weekend, you know, being that, you know, All-Star was in LA. And, you know, like for me, like I was saying before we started recording, I didn't go after the foams. I didn't, it's not really my thing. I'd rather have more simple colors on foams, but like I was going after the Air Flight Ones, you know, like the Orlando Air Flight Ones,
so good,
the pennies. Which I, you know, like I broke those out a few months back for the first time in quite a while. And, you know, I still remember that weekend going to Fox Hills Mall, and I lived right behind Fox Hills Mall at that time. And, you know, just seeing all the lines and seeing all the stores and seeing the energy that brought to people. Again, this is also like such a, you know, sneakers to me is also like such a social thing, right? Like we would all, if we lived in the same place, guaranteed we would go line up someplace, and if we failed, we'd go get something to eat. You know, like that's what sneakers was
brotherhood
at that moment,
sisterhood.
Right? It is really just it's a camaraderie that you know we all had with each other during those times. And of course, like you know, like you guys started this episode off by you know like gassing me up and celebrating me because I got a shoe that I've been wanting for 4 decades. Like that's what it's all about. And I think that was the first moment where outsiders. You know, you didn't have to be a sneakerhead to see like there was a lot of people that really cared about this in ways that like these things were important to people. And there was always those moments where like, you know, Mike, you talked about it a little bit on the pre-show working at Foot Action or whatever, Foot Locker. And, You know, like there are moments of that, like brief glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But this was All-Star Weekend and sneakers became probably more of a focal point than they ever had been. And honestly, maybe even more than they ever will. You know, like I can't imagine a storyline connecting, you know, a handful of players in the game throughout the weekend and bringing the nostalgia side of it the way that that weekend did.
Yeah.
Maybe never again, you know? So like, I think that's also why people are excited about it now, because it's like subconsciously you're like, oh, this was a moment, you know, like this is something we need to put on the wall and remember. This is something I want to wear around and be able to tell people about, that I was there, that I was paying attention, that I have those memories to share with people.
You know, I mean, that's exactly why when the Big Bang LeBron 9s came back out, it wasn't even a question. I got those immediately. Like I had to, because it was just, again, it was that same moment. And
yeah. The Big Bang LeBron was the orange shoe that was in my head.
Yeah. Kobe was a 7. Yeah, Kobe was a 7 Kobe's for a that 7. One.
Yep.
But it was just, it's one of those things that you saw. I mean, of course, you saw sneaker releases on the news for the wrong reasons in most cases. And these were kind of in the news for the wrong reasons in some cases. But this was the first big spotlight we got into sneakers before social media really super took off. I mean, it was there, but we didn't have TikTok at that point. Vine wasn't around. Facebook was the thing. And Instagram was just, I think, an infant at that point. So you didn't get to see that. But now you look at like, oh, this was on CNN or this was on Fox News or this was on whatever news source you go to. You saw the Orlando lineup where like, hey, there's a million people here in like 5 pairs of shoes.
And yeah. Yep.
You have things like that. And it's just, I feel like it was from the Concord, that kind of was the kindling of that fire that a couple months before the Foamposite release was the gasoline that got put onto it, where everyone was excited.
And I think I'll end on this closing note. That was the last release where we didn't have a paper trail. Like you guys had mentioned, there's no, like, social media is not what it needed to be or what it was as it is today. So we couldn't really figure that out, but I've got to drop because I have to help my daughter off the pot, so to speak. So I will see you gentlemen later. Yep.
See you. All right, y'all. Well, we could wrap with that too. I mean, it's been almost an hour, so it's been great to chat, catch up, to get another episode in. I feel like I've been missing it because I've been dealing with some family stuff and sick and all these things. So, man, this was a good one. So hopefully you all enjoyed it. If you did, let us know. Leave us a review. You know, I say this in the Discord a lot, but hopefully if you're listening to this point, we don't always know if you like this show or not. Like, we can see people download and listen, but we don't get feedback from you. So give us some feedback, whether that's on a social post or in the Discord or leaving us a review. We would definitely appreciate it, so we know that we should keep going with all of this stuff. Yeah, I think that's it. Anything else for you, Mike?
Nah, everybody just enjoy your sneakers. I mean, I know crap's getting expensive out there. Don't worry about buying every pair that comes out there. Enjoy them. Ones you have, enjoy the ones from afar, because just be happy there's sneakers out there.
Yep. All right, y'all. We appreciate you. We'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
See ya.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.